Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime 116. Mark Bland, Justin, Jeremy, and our boy Chris Orndorff, headmetalcomics.com, joining us just to talk a little bit about everything that we didn't get to on the show. Plus, we can I almost say cuss fuck, but
we can guess fuck.
cuck fuck to that one.
Yes.
Anyway, this is Overtime, and this is where we just kind of talk about all kinds of fun little things and stuff we didn't get to talk about on the show, as well as play Tourette's Guy, which is what we did the last time. Which
balls!
Was I got small balls! And they're
apples.
Useless! Yes. Well, I think we should start off first with the IO9 TV March Madness tournament that we've been doing with sci-fi television shows. Of course, no Joss Whedon. Justin, you weren't here last week, but we've been doing this over the last few weeks on the Overtime shows. We've gotten it down from 64 to 8 total. And Chris, you weren't here either, so you can chime in on your personal opinion of which of these shows that you like the most or not. Jeremy, you were here. We had a couple of upsets last week. Definitely Twin Peaks gone.
Sorry about that, Justin.
Yeah, talking to the microphone.
I'll cope.
Sorry about that, Justin.
I'll cope.
I'm gonna yell at you every time about talking to that microphone throughout this entire overtime.
I wish everyone listening could see what color Mark's face is right now.
Purple. All right, so we're down to these final eight, all right? Let's see where this takes us, ladies and gentlemen. Walking Dead versus The Outer Limits. That is our first challenge.
Ooh.
The Walking Dead versus The Outer Limits.
Let's hear from the panel.
Jeremy, Walking Dead.
You got to go Walking Dead.
Got to go Walking Dead. Easy.
Did you see the season finale? Oh,
no,
you're not watching it live, are
no,
you? No. You're watching it on record.
And matter of fact, I'm willing to bet the next vote's going to be for Walking Dead, too.
Justin.
Yes.
Where are you at? Outer Limits, show similar to Twilight Zone, versus The Walking Dead.
That's actually a more difficult choice for me. I think I have to give the edge to The Walking Dead just for the fact they are a current television show, that they're doing some amazing things, unprecedented in cable television.
I see.
And I think they're telling a damn good story, original even.
Yeah, they
the
are
comic.
Telling a really good story, and I think that has to play into this. I love The Outer Limits, like I said.
What I love about The Walking Dead is what a lot of people criticize it for. It's that it's a show about people surviving the zombie apocalypse. And everyone that criticizes it and says they want more action and more gore, I think there's plenty of that in the show. But I think those are people that fail to understand the purpose of a television series versus a 90-minute zombie.
Right. You want World War Z, which is getting ready to come out, with thousands of zombies, like nuclear warheads, all that.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, real quick, did you know that it was really a comic book when it started?
What's it?
Walking Dead.
Well, no, yeah, I know it's a comic, but they've differentiated the television show from the comic book. There are lots of characters that cross over, but there are characters that are unique to each world. I'm just saying things aren't going in a linear line. It's not a straight comic book adaption, which I think is brilliant and the way to go, because different mediums tell different stories.
So we got two votes for Walking Dead. What about you, Chris Orndorff?
The only reason I'll go Walking Dead is because I've never been a fan of zombies, and it's the first thing that's ever pulled me in besides the Shaun of the Walking Dead, and that was more comedic. So on a storytelling front of a dramatic zombie story, it's pulled me in. So
Walking Dead is moving on in the IO9 search that we are doing here. Batman versus Deep Space Nine.
Oh.
Batman versus Deep Space Nine.
Is this the Adam West? Batman?
This is the Adam West 1960s into the 70s television show. Or I think it was all 60s, maybe. But it is Adam West, the current voice that jumps on to Seth MacFarlane's Family Guy every once in a while.
And is this the Star Trek?
This Deep is Space Nine? The only Deep Space Nine that's ever existed.
Ah.
Yes. So I'm going to start this one off. I'm going to go, if I had to choose between these, I think I'm going to go Batman. I think the show is more iconic in general. I think it's something that if you even catch it as a kid nowadays, if it's on some rerun or something like that, it's pretty entertaining. I mean, each show is kind of self-involved. You know, there's very few. It's more of like a sitcom. every show has a beginning, middle, and end. There is no, like, multiple episodes. There's a couple of multiple episodes within the run of the television show. Deep Space Nine, I just felt that it was pushing too much. It was like, we had the Next Generation, we did Deep Space Nine because we had this other character, and then, you know, eventually, it's like, Deep Space Nine is the weakest of all of the side episodes of Star Trek that could exist, in my opinion. So I'm going Batman.
Let's hear from the panel.
All right, I have to go Batman too, although I thought Deep Space Nine, they did a pretty good job with the storyline. On the same token, it's Deep Space Nine is not, I mean, it's a knockoff.
It's not as iconic either.
It's three shades of knockoff of the original, so I got to go with Batman.
All right, Justin?
I myself, I have to go with Batman. It was, not only was it a revolutionary television series in the way that they shot and lit several things, cinematography-wise, and the way that Adam West was just perfect for that role. Like, no one else could have
pulled off. Oh, Burgess Meredith as the Penguin?
Yeah, the cast was incredible. But also, I don't think it gets enough credit for the fact that the Batman character probably survived those years based on the, you know, unforeseen, really, even by the studio.
True.
Popularity of that TV show.
Without right, because
that
they
TV
weren't
show,
making movies about it. You know, right. They made Superman movies already. The character, like, once the comic books had kind of died down, you're getting into a pretty traumatic, turbulent time period in history. You're getting ready for Vietnam War. You know, you got a lot of things going on that are taking your entertainment mind away from you and putting you in a very serious kind of format, you know?
Yeah, before that TV show, the comics were in kind of a low point. And that not only was a great television show and legendary for television, but it was also, it rejuvenated the Batman character in the Batman comics, and it's probably the reason Batman is still around today.
All right, so Batman's moving on. Incredible Hulk.
Did we get Chris?
Chris, we got three already.
I'm unanimous on Batman, too.
See, yeah, he's a comic book guy.
If I add anything, it would just be that they stayed really true to the dialogue of the comic book.
Right, yeah, it was more like directly of a rip.
Definitely.
I got to throw this in. I'm so sorry. I got a cousin, MMA fighter. You guys have met once.
Okay.
The very first fight that he got into that got him into MMA was him getting into a fight down in Mine Lamont. You know where that is?
I do know where it is. Where a lot of
where
drunk
you do the cliff
people,
diving, yep.
Lots of Bush Light.
Yeah,
lots of I'm in a union, Carhartt jackets, diesels.
So
lots of let's go jumping off of that barrier.
Just to be quick with it,
got it.
He got into a fight with a bunch of guys.
Yep.
And while he was fighting, he was literally saying pow, bang, boom every time he punched somebody. Every time.
That's just weird.
And it was hilarious.
That's just real weird. He's gonna be out of there. All right, Incredible Hulk versus Stargate.
Stargate, the TV show?
Stargate, the television show. I'm going Incredible Hulk. I got to go Hulk. Lou Ferrigno came on the show. It was a big influence in my life to the point where I got hit by a car 25 miles an hour because I thought I was the Incredible Hulk and I could stop it. Love the Incredible Hulk. Pretty much, that's it.
That's the third time I've heard that story on
the
show.
Yep, that's great. Oh, in HD. In HD, nonetheless.
It's only out on DVD.
Right, it's only out on DVD.
Let's hear from the panel.
I think it's a no-brainer, Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
No-brainer, Incredible Hulk. And
I know, there's a lot of people that are Stargate fans, though, man.
It doesn't look like we're any of them, so Hulk smash.
Hulk smash, he moves on.
Dunsky.
I do have to say, that show was just as important as Batman was to Batman, in a totally, totally different direction, though, where Batman brought in a lot of comedy.
Weird time period, Hulk. Too, early 80s. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, just kind of that weird, like the early 80s, like 80, 81, 82, before Michael Jackson really starts to make a name for himself, and everybody's kind of like, the pop culture aspect of the 80s takes over. There's this like weird 3-year period. Period, where it's just like, I don't know.
I just think what's great about the Hulk is they took this comic book character, and again, sort of similar to where Batman was in the 60s, kind of a low point in that character's history, and it's a character that's just known for kind of being a mutant, brute strength guy, and they created this drama out of it that was very poignant and nuanced, which was a totally new direction for the character, and again, revitalized the character.
So we got two for Incredible Hulk. You say Hulk?
I did, and I got a great little anecdote for you from the Wizard World convention.
Okay.
So some of our friends that helped us out with our booth, they're female cosplayers, very lovely ladies, a staff sergeant in the Air Force and a chemist out of SIUE, and they were, you know, dressed in their costumes. They went and got pictures with Lou Ferrigno, and they said that he was very friendly and that he would be at the after party and wanted to meet them there and hang out and have some dances.
Of course he did.
So,
because he's famous.
When we heard this story, my friend said, I think Lou Ferrigno has some Viagra in his Hulk Pez dispenser.
Oh, no.
Oh, ouch.
Lou Ferrigno, friend of the show.
Friend of the show. We love Lou.
It's
edit that out.
It's,
no, we're not
going
to let
it's not easy being green.
All right. So Hulk moves forward. Twilight Zone versus Star Trek The Next Generation. This is a tough one, man.
This
could be a championship.
This could be a finals.
This could be a final. This literally could be a final. It won't be, but this could be a finals. I've got to say, you know, I'm a huge Twilight Zone, like, changed television. Like, it really did big things. But storyline wise, like, but there's great storylines. I'm going to say, oh my God, I can't believe this.
Do you want to hear from the panel?
Let me hear from the panel first.
Let's hear from the panel.
All right. I think the quality wise, they're equal. They really are.
Quality
wise, the only reason
equal.
I'm going this direction is because I spent more time with my family watching it, and it's Star Trek. Sorry.
Okay, Star Trek Next Generation. Jeremy says that one. Chris?
Twilight Zone is the freakiest show ever to be on television. Twilight
Amazing
Zone.
Twist endings. Amazing. Like, everything was a twist, almost. Almost every single show was a twist.
I think it probably paved the way for every other twist ending you've ever seen.
Probably. And it was so influential to a lot of people like George Lucas, who eventually brings you Star Wars. To Steven Spielberg, to a lot, like, it's influential to, like, nobody's sitting there rocking out, yo, man, I decided to stop doing movies like Swingers and start directing Iron Man because of Star Trek The Next Generation. Like, that really put me on point, you know what I'm saying?
First of all, everyone listening should own both of these shows. Because
okay.
I would say both of these shows are absolutely
And you
crucial.
Know how they can do that? They can go to the link at the bottom of our main website, theqnow.com, amazon.com, click through. Help us out.
Yes, yes. I will say that Star Trek The Next Generation also was able to tell a variety of stories. It was all within the context of that universe. It wasn't like The Twilight Zone where it was just a different situation. Twilight Zone has some of the best television writing of all time. But I think as far as being an episodic sci-fi show, you know, I have to say I grew up with The Next Generation. I grew up watching that with my family. It had some very special memories for me, and I think a lot of those shows still have a lot of heft, a lot of impact if you watch them today, even with the technology being what it was, 87 through early 90s. I have to give the nod to The Next Generation.
Well, so we have ourselves a kind of a standoff here. We have two over here for... Let's see. You said Star Trek and Star Trek. We got a Twilight Zone, and I hate to do this. I really hate to do this, but I think I'm going to go Star Trek: The Next Generation. And the reason I'm going to go Star Trek: The Next Generation is because here is a campy B movie style television show in the 60s. It doesn't even do two seasons. It does, I think, two seasons total or one season. I think it only did one season.
Three.
No, I think it did one.
Star Trek.
I think it did one. What? But back then, they did 26 episodes in one season. So I think it only did one season, honestly.
I think it was three.
We can find out. I'm sure we can talk about
one
a different
animated.
Show. Okay, so you have that, and then people like realize how crappy that show is after years and years go by. Then they say they're going to resurrect Star Trek The Next Generation. I've had so many nights as a child watching Star Trek The Next Generation in reruns when I was in high school and in college. Just sitting there with my dad doing my homework and my dad's watching Star Trek The Next Generation in reruns. I think that the nostalgia aspect of it, I have to go Star Trek The Next Generation. Twilight Zone, I'm really sorry. You're a great show, but we've got to move on, buddy. So Star Trek The Next Generation, it moves on. All right, so Walking Dead versus Batman. I don't think we have to do much discussing here. I got to go Walking Dead. I think Walking Dead's a much better show. I think it's really a very entertaining show. If somebody came up to me and was like, here's two high-definition Blu-rays to watch on your brand-new Blu-ray player that I just bought off of Amazon.com through a link on theqnow.com, which one would you like to watch? Here's the full seasons of The Walking Dead. Here's the full seasons of Batman. I'd be like, Walking Dead. Like, I wouldn't even think twice about it.
You're right. I was going to argue, but in that case, yes, I would definitely 100% choose The Walking Dead.
It's a better show. Yeah, like, it's just more entertaining. So, two for Walking Dead.
I long for the day, though, when they resolve all the legal issues that prevent them from putting out the Batman series. It's never been released as a DVD set or high-definition Blu-ray set. They've released the movie, but they've never been able to release the television series.
And Batman's iconic, don't get me wrong. Lake. Like, I get it.
This one pains me.
It should pain you very much, since you walk around with zombie shirts on all the time.
I do.
Like, you don't walk around with a bunch of Batman shirts. I seen a purple Batman shirt one time.
Oh, my goodness. Kind of on the spot here. Walking Dad is just such a great dark show.
Let me help you out. The longer you take to figure this out, the longer overtime goes, the longer you don't get to drink a beer.
I love the dichotomy between this very comedic 60s show and this very dark modern show.
Snake Plissken, by the way. Snake Plissken's in the new The Walking Dead.
What?
Yeah, the governor, Snake Plissken.
Oh, I've stop. That's very apropos, rather. I got to go with The Way the Wind is Blowing and go with The Walking Dead.
All right, The Walking Dead is moving on. Jeremy, you want?
I was actually going to vote Batman for... It doesn't matter why. At this point.
No, it deserves a vote, though.
The only reason I was going to really vote for it is because if I had a five-year-old, I couldn't watch Walking Dead with him or her.
Yeah, but we're going to look past certain specific situations.
Yeah, so...
I'm still going
Batman.
The best sci-fi shows for five-year-olds? We need to start over.
All right, I got one more. The Hulk, The Incredible Hulk, versus Star Trek The Next Generation. If I had to choose between those two, man, nostalgia is killing me on this one because, like, I got to go Hulk. I got to go The Incredible Hulk. I got to go David Banner, Bruce Banner, all the Banners, the Banner Clan, getting them out there, some green paint, Lou Ferrigno, roofies and little girls at Comic-Cons, all of it. We got to just do that. I'm going Incredible Hulk.
I've got to go the other way. I've got to go Star Trek The Next Generation.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I second that one, Star Trek.
Star Trek The Next Generation?
Luke Ferrigno did not have a single roofie on him.
Okay, but he did have Viagra and a Pez dispenser.
A Hulk Pez dispenser?
Yep.
He's making a funny joke.
Yeah, yes. I get it, man. I'm stepping
on
the lawyers.
The dude's the man to this day, and I will go with The Incredible Hulk for sure.
Oh! We are at a standstill. Anybody got a coin in their pocket? Coin in your pocket. I need one. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Look, I got one. I got one, too.
This has got to go to the coin toss in the semifinals?
I mean, this is tough, man. I mean, we got four people here, and we got to go. Okay, so we're going to do heads on this penny.
Heads for Hulk.
Heads is The Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
Tails is Star Trek The Next Generation.
Come on, Tails.
Real simple. We're going to flip it. Wherever it lands, that's what's going. Here we go. Heads, the Hulk wins. The Hulk is moving forward. It's an upset. I mean,
Star Trek was my pick to take... The whole thing.
Of course, but that's the way the coin flips. Like, what do you want me to do about this? We got four people, man. We got to play the game the way we got to play the game. All right, so here we go. Best sci-fi television show of all time. Walking Dead versus The Incredible Hulk with Lou Ferrigno. How apropos is that he was just on the show? Of 64 television shows, The Incredible Hulk makes it to the finals. Uh-huh. Walking Dead versus The Incredible Hulk.
Walking Dead.
I can't do it. I can't give a zombie show the number one spot.
You can't.
Even though I think the writing is probably better.
There were some great episodes of The Incredible Hulk, too.
There were, and it's a deeper show than it seems on the surface. However, I'm sure that these guys today and their platoons of writers have been working hard. It's The Incredible Hulk.
All right. One for Walking Dead. One for Incredible Hulk. I got a guy. He loves comic books. He thinks Lou Ferrigno and The Incredible Hulk are amazing individuals. But he's also got lots of T-shirts with zombies getting smashed in the head with wood. It's down to you, Justin. I'm not even going to vote on this one. I'm not even voting on this. We're going to leave it with you three.
Oh, no.
It's 1-1. Justin, you're the one who missed it last show. You're the one who's going to make the final call and give the win to whoever wins.
Oh, that's incredible. Well,
another great TV show from the 80s.
I didn't see this coming. I didn't see it coming down to these two. The Next Generation was my pick to win it all. But between these two, and again, these are two shows everyone should own both of. But I think The Walking Dead is onto something really special. Gotta give it to The Walking Dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the March TV Madness for IO9, The Walking Dead, beats out of the... There was a couple of huge upsets.
Huge.
Like, Star Trek, the original Star Trek that started it all, it got bumped in the first round. Like,
yeah.
Like shows like The Prisoner that no one's ever seen, or Twin Peaks that no one ever cared about.
Oh, no.
Just left. They were gone. So, all right. Well, we're going to... Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Your winner, The Walking Dead of the IO9 March TV Madness here on the overtime for the Q. We're going to move on. I do have a letter from a listener that I want to read, and I guess with you guys here, mm-hmm. I just got to hear your opinion on this one, okay?
Okay.
Mark, I met a boy on an online sports forum, and I've fallen for him. And from what I can tell, he's fallen for me. The problem is that early in our relationship, he expressed certain attitudes about race that caused me to not be 100% honest with him. It turns out that he dislikes men of color and feels that they are responsible for many of the problems in this world. Upon discovering this, I claimed to be white and even went so far as to use Photoshop to make myself appear white in the pics I sent him. I'm not black, but I'm not white. And now our relationship has come to a point where a meeting is planned, and I am absolutely distraught. He is always so kind and loving, but when he makes comments about ashy knees and big ethnic noses, I cry on the inside. We've been together for a while, and I know he loves me, but I fear that he might not see past my skin color. He's young and Canadian, and I believe that he can overcome this. How do I go about confessing? Or do I just show up and meet him at LAX, smile, and hope for the best? Please help. Okay.
Oh, my God.
What is up with Justin on these? All right, so we have this young girl. She's not white. She's not black. She's obviously ethnic of some sort. And we have a what she deems somewhat racist individual who she's fallen in love with, a Canadian. And this individual, they feel that it's okay to be very brazen and out with that. Now, obviously, let me predicate this with, it's obvious in a relationship when you're with somebody, you're going to be open with that individual. Like, I say things to my wife I would never say to Jeremy's face, ever. Okay?
I hope so.
I'm just saying, there's things about his ball. Never mind. All I'm saying is that, like, there's things you say to your wife or your loved one that you wouldn't say normally to other people. And with that being stated, he probably feels that he's enamored to this girl enough to where he can be open like that with her. I'm probably sure that he doesn't walk around his job or whatever saying these things out loud, considering that probably would turn out relatively unhealthy for him and most people.
Depends on where he's at.
So, how do you go about confessing something like that? I think that, you know, you obviously have never, you guys are in love via online. You've never met each other and, like, physically connected on a personal note at all yet. So I think that your love is more lust than love, because I think there needs to be a personal connection there. So maybe this is one of those cases where you need to come out online about this before you make the trip, the expensive trip to L.A., you know, and see if this individual can get over this.
Let me jump in just a little bit on this. I grew up mostly in St. Louis, but I traveled around a lot, and I had lived down in Springfield, Missouri, for a while. And we had a next door neighbor.
The Heartland is what we like to call it.
I love it. It's a great town. Great town. Anyway, we had a next door neighbor that was they were openly gay. It was an older male and a younger male. It was weird to me, but whatever. You know, to each their own. Anyway, the younger male was telling me that he grew up in Texas, and for whatever reason, you know, long story short, he went out and they went gay bashing. And he would go out and beat up gay people, and they had no idea he was gay. He knew he was gay at the time, but he didn't want anybody to know.
So he just went along with the crowd.
Right. So he literally was out beating up gay people while he was gay.
Sounds like a conservative politician.
Well, yeah. It's like, you know, at a certain point, you got to be comfortable in your own skin. You got to say damn to other people, you know. And if you're setting yourself up like that, you're really setting yourself up for failure. I mean, I can't I can't say enough how you should be honest with something like that right up front. Otherwise, you're just gonna you're not gonna change somebody just because you're the one minority that you showed them the light. That's not how it's gonna work. It's a long process.
Now, Chris, you on the main show talked about growing up in Hawaii. Obviously, you get to sixth grade, seventh grade, you know, hormones start taking over a little bit. People are talking about their first kisses and boyfriend-girlfriend stuff and things like that. And I'm sure that there were some relatively attractive little Hawaiian girls that were in your class with you. And
certainly.
That you probably wanted to engage with in some type of a prepubescent, adolescent love fling, you know, your first kiss when you're in sixth grade or whatever, you know, things like that. Did that ever play into your mind? Like what she's talking about, this whole idea that you're the Holly, mm-hmm. you know, she's the mainlander, or she's the, you know, she's the homelander, yeah. I guess. The homelander.
The Polynesian, the native.
The islander. She's the islander, and you guys like each other, but it's like, I can't really come around her house because her family ain't going to look good on this. And she can't come around my house because I don't know how that's going to go, you know, just because the way they treat us. So,
well, this is the first time I've ever really thought about that in this way, but my first crush back then was with an island girl.
Okay.
Her name was Cariz.
All right.
And then when I moved...
Shout out to Cariz. Kumo D, Moa West, baby, yo. Yo, come get some Cariz.
And then when I moved to O'Fallon, Illinois, my first crush here was with a, I really don't know if she had mixed parents, but a very light-skinned black girl named Camille.
Okay. All right.
So,
did that play out at all?
No, I mean, only in, we became friends.
Right, just talking.
Yeah, but nothing ever than that. However, on this particular situation, you have technology at your disposal. You met online, Skype.
Yeah, why don't you guys Skype a little?
Yeah, if you're trying to internet date, Skype.
I agree.
I'm just, this whole letter is just astounding to me.
Why?
It's my, oh my God. Well, first of all, your ethnicity is never something you have to confess to someone. Like,
definitely.
Just that terminology.
But you kind of
shows,
do at a certain point in a relationship with somebody. Like, that road.
Because you're attracted to a bigot doesn't mean you have to confess that you're an ethnicity. I confess that I'm not white. No, that's not. That's
but
just
bro,
stating
like,
something.
This dude has got an issue with these type of people. Like, and it's not based off of his personal preference. Like, it's literally based off skin color and looks. That's what it's based off of. He's talking about ashy knees and big ethnic noses and things like he's not talking about, Tebow over there, he hit me in the back of the head with a baseball bat when we were playing on the playground the other day, so I hate him. No, I just don't like the way he looks.
Yeah, it sounds very prejudicial from the way the letter's written to me, you know, that she is afraid, you know, it doesn't sound like she's afraid he won't be attracted to her.
She did Photoshop herself, right?
She did Photoshop herself, yeah.
And turn down the contrast or something?
Whatever. Well, I don't know what she did.
It just seems like...
She's sending pictures of her blue like a Smurf. She's just like, this is me!
A little blurry. It,
I just don't understand, you know, maybe I've gone through it already in my life, so I'm beyond it, but like, I don't understand the need in people to find someone and rescue them from themselves and fix them, you know? He's, deep down, he's a great guy besides all this blatant bigotry and prejudice and hatred that makes me Photoshop myself to appear white. This guy sounds like a bigot. She sounds like a lunatic.
You think sounds like a lunatic asking a simple question?
A simple question.
You don't think that that's a simple... How do I confess?
How do I confess? Confess. Think about what that word means. How do I confess?
Wait. You have taken this the wrong direction. She is just protecting herself in the situation because of obviously this guy's over-the-top bigotry.
Uh-huh.
She's not protecting herself because she's trying to be like a terrorist getting on a plane on 9/11.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not saying that.
But
I'm
protecting yourself would be not talking to him anymore.
Right. What's the point?
So that would be your recommendation. Don't talk to him anymore.
No, not really. I'm all about being direct. Hey, look, this is what I am. You know, if you can't learn to deal with it, then, you know, I guess it's over because I can't change who I am.
So this, and to sum it up, this is a self-hating ethnic girl trying to catfish a bigot.
I don't think that she's a self-hating ethnic girl.
No,
she's dealing with this specific individual.
I hit it on the nose.
Like, if she's doing this to every person she knows, then yeah, that's one thing.
I'm happy to move on there.
Like, she's showing up at Klan rallies, you know. Hey, I'm not really totally white.
How dare you drink a Miller Lite with a Pabst hat on?
How dare you?
My goodness. All right, I got some questions. These are just general questions that somebody sent me, and they just had some general questions, and they thought it would be interesting to ask me these questions. I thought it'd be interesting to ask you guys these questions, okay? Mm-hmm. While you guys are making love over there. What song would you choose to represent an entire genre of music to someone who has never experienced a specific genre before?
Starting with what genre?
Yeah.
I think that, like find your favorite genre. Okay. And then choose who you would feel that would represent it. Let's discuss. Who would, like, all right, perfect example. If we're going to talk about rockabilly music,
okay,
probably the Stray Cats would be a really good choice to showcase someone what rockabilly music is.
We were talking about that just last night. And I would say,
you're not even talking to the mic. Nobody can even hear you.
I would say Reverend Horton Heat.
Reverend Horton Heat. I would say Stray Cats, personally. I think that represents better than Reverend Horton Heat. I think Rev and Tom Waits and people like that get a little over the edge.
Tom Waits isn't rockabilly.
Of course he is. No, folkish, he's not. Rock.
No, he's not. He's jazz.
All right. Get into the microphone.
Tom Waits is jazz. He's not rockabilly. That's
what do you think, Chris? You're into music.
I'm going to go Reverend Horton Heat.
Oh, my God. Really? Reverend Horton Heat? I like Rev. I'm just saying, I don't think, as far as the whole genre goes.
I think they define the genre.
Talk into the mic.
I think they define the genre.
It's 2013. It's like you've never lived a life.
I just got an HDTV.
To watch all the Reverend Heat Horton videos, Horton Hears a Who videos you want to see.
Reverend Horton, Horton Hears a Who.
Literally.
That's their kids' album.
Okay.
All right, so then classic rock.
That's an easy one. Classic
Except
rock.
Except you're telling it to somebody that's never heard anything but Irish folk music.
Talk into the microphone, my God. Just pull it closer. Thank you.
Welcome.
He's tall.
Oh, yeah.
He is a tall drink of water.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, he's short compared to me. Stop it. Okay. Listen. All right. Here's the deal. Classic rock.
Okay.
If I was to, like, true classic rock in, like, the most general sense of classic rock, it's going to be a 70s band because that's when it was in its heyday. It's probably going to, I mean, you know, that's a little tougher just because late Beatles stuff is really good classic rock that could arguably, like, define that genre. But the problem is they kind of went psychedelic and all these. Like, they, like, transitioned a lot of times. They weren't just true classic rock. Journey. I think you could probably pick.
Are you talking about a specific song to represent a genre?
Well, it says, what song would you choose to represent an entire genre? Songs. So I would probably.
Dude, It's More Than a Feeling by Boston.
Yeah, More Than a Feeling by Boston. That would be a really, really tough one to beat.
I nailed it again.
No, you're gay. Listen.
Stop. That's not an insult.
Stop being vegan.
You
got to
go
stop
with the
vegan.
Obvious with Led, right? You got to go with Zeppelin. You have to. It's that. I mean, that sound all by itself,
right,
it has been mimicked in so many ways since then that you can't possibly say it's not classic rock.
I would agree with you. Boston's a really tough one, too, because, like, that was really popular classic rock. Zeppelin, at the time period, people don't understand, Zeppelin was popular, but they weren't, like, superstar, like, mega superstar popular worldwide, like Boston and Journey were by the time they hit their peak. It was, as years went by, people started looking back going, oh, well, Zeppelin was really good. Like, you need to hear Stairway. You need to hear this. You need to hear that. I like Over the Hills and Far Away. I like Dire Maker. I like some of their other really good stuff. The Zoso album. Very good stuff. You know, so I think that would, you know who else would be pretty good? Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
Born to Be Wild. That's a really good rock song of the classic rock nature.
And mm-hmm. You can't dismiss Pink Floyd.
No, but you can't because it's not classic rock.
It's tough to argue
that Pink Floyd's classic rock.
I think
it's more psychedelic.
Psychedelic is a part of classic rock.
Some.
You go. You get in there.
Well, classic rock, Led Zeppelin's heavy. True. You know? So Beatles would probably be the best.
I'm not a Beatles fan by any means. But.
Really? I am. And I think especially because they did evolve so much and change their style up, it was so out there. So what are you talking about? Classic, like to the beginnings, to the origins of your Little Richards and your, you know, your Chuck Berry being from St. Louis?
Right.
Do you start there? Which is obviously simple and not as
well, that's
compelling
just rock and
musically.
Roll. That's early rock. I would say that if you're going to go that route, you know,
I agree, but when I hear the word classic, I kind of tend to think what really is classic. And then I hear Led Zeppelin, which I agree with again, but that's
heavier. I think
we
have to go with the definition of the genre is the way radio stations have portrayed it over the years. I think classic rock technically would be your 60s, 70s.
Okay.
I would think early rock would be your 40s, 50s, you know.
Okay, you're right, you're right.
I think that that's
Beatles
kind of
or Zeppelin, then I would say.
Although it's interesting to get your perspective because you wrote a comic book about rock music.
And I actually, the six bands in the that take us through the years.
Yeah, give us the six bands.
The six bands, Chuck Berry,
okay,
into the Beatles, Frank Zappa, into the Doors, into the Talking Heads, into Rage Against the Machine.
Doors. Doors would be tough to beat on classic rock. Or even Stones. Rolling Stones would be
Stones
tough to
for
beat.
Sure. Stones
Brown
for sure.
Brown Sugar.
Stones, Sympathy for the Devil. I mean, I'm not.
I'll throw you guys for another loop. Let's try this one.
Loop me.
80s hair metal genre. What would you use as the definer of 80s hair metal?
Poison.
What's on?
What's
gotta
song?
Be a song.
I'm with him on that too. I don't know why, but I am.
I like CeCe. CeCe DeVille. Hey, that's great, Jeremy. Tell me what song you like by us, huh?
I don't know
which
the title.
Is the one?
I want some
Mama's
action.
Mama's Fallen Angel. I want some action. Unskinny Bop. Like, where are we going to go?
That's it. Unskinny Bop.
You want to do Unskinny Bop?
Yeah. And then, oh, man, 80s. I'm just not. I remember the 80s very well.
Right.
And
sure
I don't
do.
Remember a lot of high-quality music.
I would say that if I was in a weird way, they weren't technically hair metal, but they did it better than anyone else. At that time period and genre of music, if I was to, like,
he's
take
thinking.
A group.
Let me guess for you.
He's stalling.
Def Leppard.
No, but that's good. I would probably go Guns N' Roses,
ooh, oh, yeah.
And I would probably go with Mr. Brownstone, or potentially, well, Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, they're
welcome
not, that's not what? Hair. That's not,
yeah,
hair.
Are you
I said
kidding
hair.
Me? Do it's, you know how many bottles of spray look. Hair stuff that he used?
No, he was, but, they were the anti-hair.
But they were rock.
They
like, that's tough to, like, argue.
They had much more edge to them than
yeah,
the really shiny, commercialized.
But
lean.
They stole every single hair metal fan. They stole every one of them.
Because they're hard in your face.
Yeah,
like, they
Appetite
ripped
for
them
Destruction
apart.
Is still
yeah.
a perfect record.
Yeah.
You can still listen to that front to back. It's a perfect record.
A little more general. Let's
well,
go.
Well, what about me?
What about me?
Yeah, hair metal. What about me? It isn't fair.
You didn't nail it. You're not going to nail it.
No. I'm going to nail it.
You're not going to nail it.
Who indicates hair metal more than Motley Crue? Just throw out some
yeah,
Dr. Feelgood or Girls,
songs,
Girls, Girls.
The songs
no.
suck.
I nailed it again.
The songs suck.
I nailed it again. Hey, how about White Lion? What's that White Lion song?
White Lion?
Let's
Kiss
pull that
me
out.
No, that was Lita Ford. White Lion.
I'm not lying to you. That one's pretty hair-tacular.
Motley Crue was bad, but they did define the hair band, just like Poison did. Poison was pretty bad, too.
I think Poison
it.
More defined the hair band than Motley Crue
yeah,
did.
Yeah, they both did, and they
I
were
think
both
Motley
pretty
Crue
bad.
Opened, I think Def Leppard opened the door. Motley Crue kind of kicked down the rest of it, and then, like, who signified hair metal in general was probably Poison. Like, it's hard to argue that down. I love their greatest hits album.
For sure, but it was bad.
I mean,
it was fun and I loved it.
Dude, to this day, Every Rose Has Its Thorn, that's a badass song, bro. That's all I'm saying. Like, that's. Okay,
how
now,
about Cinderella?
Let's take it back a step. Let's take it back
Lawrence?
A step. Let's all take right. it back
Wait,
a step.
Cinderella's Christian rock.
Hey, no, they're not.
No, Striper.
That was Striper. That was Striper with their bad buses. Okay, now, let's go. Let's play this game a little differently. If you were to take an entire decade, the 90s in general, and go, give me a song that represents the style, the feel, the culture, and everything of the 1990s, like it was the song that you feel every time you think of the 90s, this song pops in your head.
Fuck the Police.
Really?
Awesome.
NWA.
By far.
Awesome choice.
What about you?
That is a great choice, and it's definitive, and I agree.
Of
however,
the 90s? Nothing but a G thing was more popular than Fuck the Police.
Yeah,
and Fuck the Police came out in 88. That's not even in the 90s decade.
The first album I ever bought myself at a Tower Records in Hawaii,
of course,
was, and I wasn't obviously supposed to be able to buy this, but I did, was NWA, and it was that song that really just hit me. So I would agree that that's definitive.
But that would be for rap music in general.
It was a powerful song, though.
It is, but I don't think it represents the 90s well. If I was to choose a song for the 90s to represent the 90s really well, I would say Linger by the Cranberries.
Ooh.
That or Champagne Supernova by Oasis.
Wow, he's
was
joking.
Was Linger
now
your entrance music?
No.
You're a pro wrestler?
nailed it! Oh, booyah! HD! 1080p, bitches!
I hate to say it, but you gotta say Teen Spirit.
I was going to say that, too.
Yeah, Spirits are really
tough. He's nailing the 90s, in my opinion.
But really, it's only half of the 90s. You got Nine Inch Nails and a lot of harder things that came out that were popular.
Plenty.
Plus, you got Britney Spears and all that stuff that influenced the late 90s. So you got a whole bunch. That's why I say Cranberries, Linger, that melodic, grunge, slow rock, like done relatively well, is kind of like throughout the entire decade.
Yeah, I think the 90s aren't as easily encapsulated as the 80s.
I think it's because they had pop, they had rock, they had grunge, and they had rap. They had like four major genres, and each of those major genres had some really decent stuff that came out of them.
Best band of the 80s, real quick, the Talking Heads.
Okay.
No fans here?
Well,
oh, wow.
I
love the Talking Heads.
Me, The Cure. The Cure. I mean, I gotta go Cure.
I gotta stick with Men Without Hats.
Nailed it. 1080p, baby. 720i. Interlaced, bitches. No, Watch Dread. Watch Dread. Homework.
Watch Dread on Blu-ray.
90s. Even though I think he's fallen off and he rapped way too much about his mom and his personal life, and I did not like that.
Okay.
But
back
the end of the 90s, one of the songs for me that represents Eminem. My name is.
He was a huge artist in the 90s, but
I think he really more he signifies the 2000s, 2000, 2010.
But wasn't it 99? It was 98.
Oh yeah, it was late 90s when that came out. But I'm just saying, I think he signifies more.
Yeah, you're right. I think he ran.
I mean, it's hard to beat Thriller or Beat It for the 80s. Like
true.
We didn't say Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
Here's the thing about the 80s. In the 80s, you had the campaign of 1980 where Ronald Reagan was elected.
Oh,
8 years
God
of Reagan.
Nobody
4 years of Bush.
No.
It was the 80s were kind of a more congruous time. The 90s, 91, 92 were totally different years than 98, 99. Like, a lot happened in that decade that doesn't easily
encapsulate.
There
was only one major thing that happened in the 90s, and that was crack.
Crack did happen. Crack is whack.
Crack didn't. Crack happened in the 80s.
It started in the 80s. It hit everywhere else in the 90s. As soon as the movie Colors came out and beyond.
Yeah, it dominated the early 80s for sure.
Talking to the mic!
Sorry.
Yeah, neither one of you is talking. Okay, Smashing Pumpkins, I'd say, today, is a huge song of the 90s. If I had to pick one. But again, it's hard to pick a song that represents the 90s.
I think we can all say that for a genre that got hated a lot, grunge had some pretty damn powerful music, whether you want to hate on it or not.
A lot of stuff really holds up. How do you feel now that it's 2013 and things, work in cycles and we're in that, 20 years old cycle? Like, I remember in the 90s, kind of the 70s were kind of being repackaged as retro and all the bell-bottom jeans came back out and all the Dazed and Confused and all the Led Zeppelin and all that. Kind of that culture, looking back, became a thing. And now I see that happening with 90s culture being kind of repackaged as retro and neat to the youth of today. How do you feel about the 90s culture kind of being re-commodified and nostalgic? And
you better answer in HD or else.
Yes. Can I get your answer on a Blu-ray disc?
I still think that music is powerful. Kurt Cobain and Nirvana had something that will never be captured again in that lightning in the bottle way that they came in and hit. Pearl Jam gets hated on a lot. However, they still go strong, and they are a powerful
Pearl
band.
Pearl Jam was fine. I didn't have a problem with that. Spin the Black Circle is a great freaking album.
Yeah. And, they're still going. A lot of people just hate Eddie's voice, and, I'm not going to.
I think Creed ruined that for Eddie is what the problem. That's what happened. I hate Creed. I liked Creed. I thought Creed was a decent rock band.
You just
for
say
who
that?
Shut up. You no! shut your stinking mouth.
Let me throw this 90s out there and see, since we're all from the Midwest where this just dominated for the 90s.
Oh, my God. Please don't bring up Gravity Kills.
Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was, but see, that's more of that, I just want to get in your pants because I'm a frat guy.
No, you know, I.
Like, but that's beautiful. He is an amazing artist.
Yeah, he got a lot of
dudes
late is what happened. That, got a lot
he
of
was people. Good at that, too.
Like, John Mayer's talking trash over here, and Dave Matthews walks in, and he's like, hike up your skirt, little boy. You know?
Stop
like,
it.
Like, seriously.
You
like,
know, remember that huge Dave Matthews Band sold out Busch Stadium?
Dave Matthews Band is a talented band.
I was at that show in the fifth row. I got tickets from where I worked at the time, and I remember a couple things. One, they played like at least 3 hours straight
Amazing
with no
band.
Break,
yeah,
no
yeah.
intermission. Second, I remember that there were more black people on stage than the rest of the entire
he died.
Busch Stadium. Oh, R.I.P. But, yeah, Dave Matthews
yeah,
Band. There
that
we go.
Happened. All right, so I think that we had to have. I can't even. Oh my God, I'm trying to.
That's great radio right there.
It is great radio right there.
So the 90s.
Yeah,
Blu-rays.
I would say yeah, Blu-rays.
Here, let me make one more point about the 90s because it's. I
yeah,
think
one
this
more
is
point. You're gonna make the last point. And we're getting out of here on overtime.
So
with Poison,
the biggest thing
the
about
background.
The 90s was
we gotta
that
talk dirty to me playing in the background. Go.
So many different music started combining with each other. And now everybody's imitating how everybody.
You know, I never.
Everybody
I
used
never
to combine
so
music
good.
Now, and it's making
never
its own lips. So you had Run DMC and Aerosmith.
But I like
you
it.
You had Anthrax and EPMD, and you had all kinds of crazy things coming together. And now yeah. it just seems normal now. But
the
when
Judgment
it came
Night
out,
soundtrack.
It was brand new, and nobody had done it before.
Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it. Chris Orndorff, thank you so much for joining us, bro.
Thank you.
Jeremy Bailey, Justin Deming, at Dimofo on Twitter.
And Instagram.
And we're going to get out of here, guys. We love you all. Thank you so much for listening to Overtime 116. We'll
y'all
be back
peaceful.
Next time.